I suppose you can look at it from one way or another, but it's always easy to pay out money, in my opinion, than to get a new law license. So we're going to be focusing on, you know, what are some malpractice claims that have arisen. And sometimes, however, the two, the grievance and malpractice, does get together a little bit. So we'll talk about that. I'd like to start off by talking about one of the most common things I've seen, which is simply the failure to timely file immigration forms. If you look in the handout that is in your packet, you'll see that failure to timely file immigration forms is on the number one on the list. And it's fairly straightforward, of course. As lawyers, we have a responsibility to timely file these forms for our clients. Good examples, of course, are you have a one-year period to file asylum claims. You know, when a perm is done, you have so many months after the perm to get that filed. Of course, you have to get something filed before your client is out of status, that sort of thing. Part of the purpose of this presentation, of course, is to discuss how to avoid these things. Well, I guess the easiest way to avoid it is not to do it. But perhaps a better way of looking at it is, I assume, or I take the position, that we all have some sort of calendaring system. Certainly, going back to the grievance committee for a minute, whenever I heard that an attorney did not have some sort of calendaring system, you know, sort of the hairs went up on the back of my neck. Most of what we do, we live by our an attorney. I think one of the best definitions for an attorney I heard from Peter Williamson, who everybody knows Peter, of course, and I'm proud to call him one of my mentors. But one of the definitions of an attorney is a person who tells you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. So assuming I'm speaking, of course, to the audience of attorneys, what you need to hear is that you need a calendaring system. There are many, many, many different types of calendaring systems out there. In our office, we happen to use Clio. I like it very much. No, I don't get paid by Clio, but if you're looking for something, I've had good results with that. There is no shortage of calendaring systems that are out there. Google, of course, has one. I believe it's free. There's really no excuse in our profession for not having one. It's just, especially with the practice of immigration law, much of what we do is tied by deadlines. And we need to make certain that we get the papers in, or we have a good reason for not doing so. I downloaded some of this from the USCIS website, and of course, we're all familiar with that. One of the biggest issues that I've seen, and that USCIS incidentally has seen, is that the forms are not signed. Well, if the forms are not signed, well, then of course, they're not timely submitted. Make sure, of course, that you have a process for reviewing when the forms are signed and dated. Of course, they have to be dated. With the COVID crisis, incidentally, as we're all aware, the service is now taking, non-original signatures, which I think, of course, is very good. I hope they continue with that. But at some point, if they stop that, we need to be aware of it. Once again, it's important that when the forms are complete, they're reviewed and timely submitted. We all have a tendency, especially after you've been doing immigration law or really any kind of law for a while, is that you sort of, when you look at the form, you're sort of not seeing it after a while. I mean, it's like the forest through the trees. You look at the form so often and so many times that eventually you're just looking at paper. And so that's why it's important to have somebody review it with you or review it for you. Make sure you're not missing anything. A second pair of eyes on it is always one of the best things to do. Not timely filing forms also includes, of course, submitting the correct payment. I'm not telling anybody anything we don't already know, that immigration payments are always changing. Funny how they're always changing towards a more up direction in terms that the client has to pay more. Of course, we're all aware that as of Monday, premium processing, which was before $1,225 and a bargain at that, is now $2,500. So these are things we all need to be aware of. And this leads me to part of another discussion, which is I would hope everybody is a part of AILA, and not only a part of AILA, but a part of a regional group. We're very fortunate here in Houston. We have a very good regional AILA group that has an excellent e-list address, email system, which alerts everybody and as to what's going on. And it's also a good place to post questions with Facebook and other social media platforms. There are immigration groups out there. We have a Houston immigration group here on Facebook, which is very well done, has a lot of information that helps us all stay current. And of course, another one I recommend is Nerdy Immigration Lawyers, I guess like nerds, very good group. But there's no shortage of groups out there. My advice is to please subscribe to one or a few of them. That way, you're always sort of in the loop as to what's going on. Immigration law, as we all know, is notorious for changing. And unfortunately, I wish I had better news, but there is no better news. You have to keep abreast of these things. It is considered malpractice if it's common knowledge, for example, that the fees have changed and you send in a check for a form, and the fee is not correct, and so it's bounced back to you, and so it's considered untimely filed. Well, unfortunately, that does open you up to some liability.